Bamidbar, in the desert, the Book of Numbers, here on Torah 101. We pick up in verse 20 of Numbers, chapter 1. The men 20 years old and over who were subject to military service were recorded by name, family, and clan, starting with the descendants of Reuben, Israel's firstborn. Here are the totals. And so we have the numbers of men 20 years old and over from each of the tribes. Verse 21 tells us Reuben numbered 46,500. The descendants of Shimon, 59,300. Gad, 45,650. Yehuda, or Judah, 74,600. Judah being the primary tribe already, as was prophesied earlier by Jacob. And to this day, Yehuda remains preeminent. Most Jewish people today are referred to as Jewish because of Judah, Yehuda. And of course, it was through Yehuda that King Messiah came, through the line of David. The descendants of Yisachar, 54,400. Zebulun, 57,400. Ephraim, 40,500. Manasseh, 32,200. Benjamin, 35,400. Dan, 62,700. Asher, 41,500. Naphtali, 53,400. Numbers. Most likely the Book of Numbers receives its English title from this listing of numbers of men. It is amazing to me that these numbers exist. Records were kept. And although Jewish people today cannot clearly and definitively trace their lineage because of the destruction of our records, not only after the destruction of the Second Temple, but also the further destruction that came in Europe from the Nazis. Genealogical records no longer really exist, except in maybe oral tradition in the families. And yet God knows the number of the people of his tribes, as we see later in the Book of Revelation. Now 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes are set apart, specially designated to fulfill his work within what we call the Great Tribulation. God has preserved the tribes, even though we as Jewish people may not even be aware of our original tribe. Verse 44, Moshe, Aaron, and the 12 leaders of Israel, each from a clan, counted the people of Israel by their clans, those 20 years old and over, eligible for military service in Israel. And the grand total came to 603,550. But those who were Leviim, the Levites, according to the clan of their fathers, were not counted in this census because Adonai had told Moshe, "Do not include the clan of Levi when you take the census of the people of Israel." From the Midrash Numbers, one rabbi, Judah ben Shalom, taught that the count excluded the Levites from being numbered with the rest of the Israelites for their own benefit. For as Numbers 14:29 reports, all that were numbered, quote, died in the wilderness. But because the Levites were numbered separately, they entered the land of Israel. Members of the tribe of Levi, the spiritual caretakers of the people, they do enter the promised land, where all the others from that generation died off in the wilderness. Verse 50, instead, give the Leviim charge over the tabernacle of the testimony, its equipment and everything else connected with it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its equipment, serve in it, and set up their camp around it. When the tabernacle is to be moved onward, it is the Leviim who are to take it down and set it up in the new location. Anyone else who involves himself is to be put to death. I read a very interesting account from the Talmud about this, how those who would involve themselves in the work of the Levites were to be put to death. Three ancient rabbis went to Jerusalem after the destruction of the temple. And just as they came to Mount Scopus, that's in Jerusalem, they saw a fox emerging from the Holy of Holies. The first three rabbis began to cry, but Rabbi Akiva smiled. The three asked him why he smiled, but Akiva asked them why they wept, quoting Numbers 1, verse 51, what we're reading here today. They told him that they wept because a place of which it was once said, quote, "And the common man that draws near shall be put to death," had become the haunt of foxes. Akiva replied that he smiled because this fulfilled the prophecy of Uriah the priest, who prophesied that Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. And yet also, it confirmed to Rabbi Akiva Zechariah's prophecy, which was of a positive note, a hopeful note. It says in Zechariah 8:4 that there shall yet old men and old women sit in the broad places of Jerusalem. So the fulfillment of Uriah's prophecy gave Akiva certainty that Zechariah's hopeful prophecy would also find fulfillment. The other rabbis then told Rabbi Akiva that he had comforted them. That story from the Talmud. So verse 52, the rest of Israel are to set up camp company by company, each man with his own banner. But the Levites, the Leviim, are to camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that no anger will come upon the assembly of the people of Israel. The Levites are to be in charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. We are told within the Talmud also that the rabbis taught that when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, the Levitical camp, the camp of the Levites, served as the place of refuge to which manslayers could flee. In other words, people that had accidentally killed another could find refuge and find safety, a city of refuge, close to the tabernacle where the presence of God dwelt. The people of Israel could find mercy and forgiveness. Verse 54, finally for today, this is what the people of Israel did. They did everything that Adonai had ordered Moshe. This is the Torah, every day.